We are continuing with the theme of the epiphany, of that revelation, that aha moment. And if you could tell from the readings today, looking at an epiphany of in the thought of light. Light. You know, when something gets a light shown upon it, you see it. Right? I mean, the idea of, you know, when in a cartoon, when someone has an idea, what is it? It's a light bulb. Right? This revelation, this seeing. And the idea of light, particularly light in contrast with darkness. And we have to acknowledge and understand that there's darkness around us. And in that darkness, we experience uncertainty. There's nothing more uncertain than walking down a stairs in the darkness, walking down a path in the woods in the darkness. We're not sure where your steps are going. There's uncertainty. Darkness can produce divisions and fear. And anyone with eyes can see that all these things are rampant in our world today. We grieve the violence and the distress and the divisions that our country is experiencing here alone, and let alone the rest of the world. And yet, there's also the darkness in our own hearts, in our relationships, the fear, the anxieties we can feel towards each other, towards our God. Interesting. Sometimes I just like to dig into statistics just because, well, it's interesting. And in our country, in the United States of America, when you look at themes of anxiety and fears, we realize that there's a lot of anxious people in our world. And I think all of us experience it sometime, but as far as like an anxiety disorder, nearly 1 in 5 people in the U.S. in any year will experience an actual anxiety, diagnosed anxiety disorder, a debilitating anxiety. And 31% of people in the U.S. will experience that at some time in their life. Children, surprisingly, experience anxiety disorders. 12% of the United States population experience some kind of a phobia. Not surprising. I mean, do not put a live spider near me without me knowing about it, because I think I have a phobia. You know, now some are more rational than others. You know, but they're there. We have fears. Maybe it's just the future. Maybe it's the anxiety and fear of not knowing how bills will be paid, or how a good friend or a family member will get through the tough times they're getting in right now. And it affects us. 68% of adults in the U.S. are concerned about keeping their family safe. 63% of people in the U.S. are concerned and have anxiety about their health and about keeping their identity safe. That's the world we live in now, isn't it? 62% of adults worry about paying bills and their finances. 40% of employed adults are worried about their job security. And what's interesting is they polled these sorts of things. Studies show that over 91% of worries that people have do not come true. Affects our health. Anxiety raises blood pressure. 67% of people feel their weekends are cut short because they start worrying about work that comes on Monday. And 4 in 5 people report a bad night's sleep on Sundays because they got to go to work on Monday. There's just a lot of pressures on us. Anxiety and fears are all around us. And into that darkness, God gives light. And the question I'm going to frame our thoughts around today are concerning light are this, I think. What happens then when God's light reaches us And then, what does that light ask of us? Well, we start off in the Isaiah and in the Psalm reading today, where we see that light breaks through. That light is promised, and that light is identified. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I love Psalm 27. The second half of it, that earnest prayer of, "Don't hide yourself from me. Help me, Lord." It's a wonderful prayer. If you're feeling anxious, go to Psalm 27 and pray that prayer. The Isaiah, he was speaking to a people who were living under oppression. Not the idea of oppression, but real, actual oppression and exile and fear. And into that darkness. And remember, this was hundreds of years that Israel was suffering and looking outward in this darkness. But we see that God promises light. Where there's darkness, there will be light. There is light. The psalm names God as that light. And so if we are feeling darkness, if we want relief from the darkness, we seek God. We pray to seek God. We pray to be with God. We pray for His presence. We pray for His healing, His hope, His touch. That is where we want to go when we are feeling anxious. The interesting relationship with light and dark is that it's pretty one-sided. A little bit of light will push back the darkness, but darkness itself isn't a thing in itself, right? It's just lack of light. And so when you have light, the darkness goes away. It changes, enters the space. That tiny little bit of light can be so powerful. And so we see God's promise of light. Now, as we look at that Isaiah passage, we recognize it as pointing forward to something else, right? In fact, we see then in our gospel that this light has a name. This light has a voice. This light is real. That is in Jesus. The first part of that, chapter 4, verse 12, 13 in there, quotes Isaiah 9. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, they've seen a people dwelling in darkness, have seen a great light. And that was Jesus. Jesus was saying those words to identify himself, that I am that light. And then it's interesting that after that, he has his first sermon. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Light has broken through. The light is here. Jesus even more explicitly identifies himself as light in John chapter 8, verse 12. It said, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. And so what happens when light comes, when the darkness is set aside? Well, you see things. When the light shines in our heart, we see our hearts. And so Jesus' message there was repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. The light has come. Now, a repentance here, I think in this particular context especially, speaks of a reorientation. A change of heart, a turning around. And it was embodied then in Jesus. Turn towards this light. We can refuse the light. We can close our eyes to the light. We can turn our backs to the light. It's asking us to turn and accept it and acknowledge what that light exposes. The key point here is that the light of God is not an idea. It's not this ethereal theorem of metaphor here, but an embodied person in the body and person of Jesus. And so the light has come, and we see him, we know him. Now, what happens then when the light is shown? Well, the interesting, right after that proclamation of Jesus as light out of Isaiah, we see the scene at the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus calls some of his disciples. And it's interesting because that when the light shone, these fishermen were not out preparing themselves for holiness. They weren't out getting ready. They weren't seminary students. They were working. They were doing the normal day-to-day thing. They were out there, just ordinary, hardworking people when the light came. And Jesus' call was very simple. And the same with us, to us today. It's follow me. You don't have to get ready. You don't have to clean things up, anything. He just says, follow me. It shows an immediate trust of just saying, yes, I see now, and I will follow. I may not be ready. I may not know everything. I may be confused about things. And then, you know, we get so caught up sometimes, I think, when we're sharing the gospel. We want people to know Jesus. And so much emphasis on the knowing, getting our head straight, having to know every detail, understanding the theology, understanding all these things. And Jesus' message was simply, follow me. If you see it and it makes sense, just come alongside. Peter, Andrew, these guys, they didn't know anything. They just saw this man, their lights got open, their hearts, and they said, okay, I'm going to follow. And you know they were not in any way anticipating what would happen the next 3 years with Jesus. But they just followed. And that immediate response shows trust, faith, not perfection, but a willingness to go when the light is there. You know, Jesus isn't really waiting or for us to be ready necessarily, right? He just wants us to follow. And we do that, he'll make us ready for anything that we need to be ready for. And that is true today. God still calls people right in the middle of wherever they are, in their routines, their doubts, their fears, their anxieties, whatever it is, God is always calling, follow me. It's okay. Repent and follow. And I will show you the way. He's calling us even today. The reading, the New Testament reading today, I think then points us towards what the light is supposed to do for us. This light forms a united people. You know, we looked at Corinthians 1, you know, a year ago or so, and it rings still true, that idea of how divided we are. And we are divided. I mean, not just in our world, generally speaking, but the church itself can be seen, and people often accuse or criticize Christians in the church because of this very thing, of how divided we are. And we divide ourselves over so many things. I mean, theologies, modes of baptism, eschatological ideas, our politics, it all comes in, and people look at that and going, well, why am I following Jesus if that's what it's about? Corinth, if you recall, was struggling with divisions, with egos, competitions. I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Paul, all these things. I think that division is, in some ways, the great sin of the church today. That if we had a united church, not united in perfection or everything, but united in what's important, which Paul's identified as the cross, I just think of the power of that kind of a church in our world today. And Paul does recenter it where it should be, which was the cross, which is the cross. Not politics, not baptism, not theology, the cross of Jesus. And I often ask myself, when I consider, you know, people I don't agree with, I'll read an article, some theology, and I'll go, I'm not quite there with that. That might doesn't seem to ring true with me. But can I look to that person and see, are they following Jesus? Do they believe in the cross and follow Jesus in that way? And then can I unite with them in spite of maybe some differences? Not to say there are not some serious differences. There are. But I just fear and think that we divide ourselves unnecessarily over some things like that are not the cross. Now, this unity, as I mentioned, is not sameness. It's not being all the same. But it does share an allegiance, that faith allegiance to Christ. Even when we completely disagree with each other. You know, I think what happens is that Christians try to then narrowly define what a Christian is, so that if somebody falls outside of that bound, they can treat them as not a Christian and say, yeah, well, you're out, and not making the cross as central. But the light that calls us, the light that shines and exposes darkness, also reshapes us. Reshapes us into the people that live together. The light calls us to humility, to listening, to be willing to admit we're wrong sometimes. You know, that following of Jesus always moves us from self-centeredness, ego, towards community, towards other people. Because that's where the fullness of this light is shown together. You know, the 12 disciples in a microcosm, very different people. Very different people. Politically, spiritually, and yet Jesus brought them together in Him. And that's our example today. Now, the other thing that light does then, and we see in the gospel reading today, is light sends. The light sends us out. In 4:23, and He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. The light, when it's shining, proclaims and it heals in words and in actions. That was the proclamation of the kingdom. The kingdom. He's showing us what the kingdom should be like. It should be togetherness. It should be healing. It should be unity. It should be abundance. People are fed. People are cared for. And the kingdom was revealed not through power, not through military might, not through theological rightness, but through compassion and restoration and presence. And His disciples then were called to that same mission. The same mission. You know, we saw the continuity from Luke into Acts as disciples went out and did the same things that Jesus was doing. And we are called then into that same job, that same calling. Now, it may not be in paralytics being healed or taking a loaf of bread and it multiplying into hundreds of loaves of bread, but it is towards seeking healing for others, of being generous, helping those that are less well off, those who are suffering, those who are sick, the widows, the orphans. Those are all the same today. And the kingdom calls us to live like kingdom people. We aren't called to just sit and admire the light. We're not called to come into these places and say, oh, light, you're so awesome. We're called to reflect that light, to shine it out. Not our light, but Jesus shining out into our communities. That's the epiphany of light. Not to just hold it to ourselves, but to show and shine the light for others to see too. We see in this epiphany moment that God's light has come near. That it's here in the person of Jesus. We see a light that finds us in darkness. That we're not alone. And whatever anxieties and fears that you may have today or tomorrow or through this week, and they'll be there, concerns, we can know that God is greater and that any amount of light is going to shine the way for you. If we're willing to wait, be trustful and put our trust in Him. This light calls us where we are. wherever you are today, whatever amount of faith you think you have or don't have, whatever age or occupation, whatever it is, we don't have to be ready. We just have to follow. We just have to follow. Light reminds us of where our unity is, and that's in the person of Jesus, crucified, buried, and raised. It's not traditions, it's not opinions, it's that person of Jesus and Jesus crucified. You know, our world craves hope, and light gives hope. Things are really, really dark, and you think you can't make it, but you have a little bit of light, you can feel better and hang on until the dawn comes. That's the other part, too, is I think about light. I mean, there's the flashlight that you can get through the woods, but we know our hope is in that the day is going to dawn when Jesus comes again, and then there is no more darkness. And so for now, we trust and move ahead step by step with the light that we have. I think the question that we have for ourselves today is, where is Christ's light calling you to turn, repent of actions taken, and repent of thoughts, of opinions? And you know, repentance is a daily, sometimes moment-by-moment thing. You know, where you catch yourselves, a harsh word, a negative thought, a moment of selfishness. But as God's light reveals that and repent, we say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow. I'm going to make that commitment of trust. Not that I'm ready or I'm able or have any idea what's going, but I am going to follow you. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to follow you. And in our shining, what are our actions? What does God want us to do in the weeks to come? It could be simple, as simple as reconciling with a friend, neighbor, or coworker, an apology given, a help given, a reaching out, a showing you care, a note, a phone call, a box of food, a coat, few bucks for gas, whatever it is. It's the simple things that we show day by day, moment by moment, and the light shines. It's a good challenge, and for those of us who have seen where the light has shined, we can pray as the psalmist does, Lord, don't hide, show us your way. And we can say, along with those first disciples, when Jesus said, come and follow, and they said, okay, let's see what we're going to do. And together we can see those things too. Let's stand together. And you can turn your hymnal to number 376.